It is very interesting, and I mean, I think the Stampeders will win big on Monday. Mm-hmm. I think they're a better football team. So I believe in Huff, and I believe what the Stamps will do this Labor Day with the new signature jerseys. But 1992, and so fans don't get too excited if it goes the wrong way. 1992, we lost Labor Day to the Eskimos, but we met them in the West Final, and then we won the Grey Cup. 1998, we beat Edmonton Labor Day, and we beat them in the West Final. We won the Grey Cup. 2001, we lost the Labor Day Classic, but met the Eskimos in the West Final up in Edmonton and won the Grey Cup. So there was two Labor Day losses, but two Grey Cup victories, and I think that's what counts. But basically, one of my fondest memories of Labor Day is we had lost the West Final in 1993. We had won the Grey Cup in 92. We hosted the West Final in 1993, and we were hosting the Grey Cup. And Doug Flutie was our quarterback, and we were highly ranked to really romp over the Eskimos. But that morning, a blizzard hit, and everything froze up. The snow was unbelievable. The heaters froze. Doug Flutie's hands froze, and we lost the 93 West Final. The Eskimos came into Calgary and won the Grey Cup. So we thought, what can we do for next year's Labor Day? That was the next rematch mm-hmm. with the Eskimos. And we kind of started thinking, and as a kid, I used to get Sports Illustrated, and Sports Illustrated was my Bible as a kid. Wait for it every week to come in. And I remember reading an article. It was the University of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, and they were ranked in the top 10. Maybe they were ranked 10th, and they were playing USC Trojans, who were ranked number one. And the Irish had always worn green jerseys, but they did away with the green jerseys for about 35 years. And they warmed up in their royal blue or whatever that other color jersey is of the Fighting Irish. They went into the locker room, and the green jerseys were hanging up. And they came out, and they romped over USC, who was ranked number one. So at the time, there was really no third jerseys in any sports.
Yeah.
And growing up, I was a big Oakland Raider fan.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? Let's do a black jersey. And we talked to the jersey company. I believe it was Starter at that time, and it was all secret. Mm-hmm. We had a very flamboyant owner who liked to take risks. So we put together this black uniform. And on the arm patches, we did 2 6 guns crossing because we were the West. We were the Wild West. And we had the white horse. And we put in a Latin phrase, quid rictamor, which states whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So we were going to win that Labor Day, and we were not going to lose for the Eskimos for a long time. So whatever it took. So we ordered these black jerseys. The league didn't know about it. CBC TV didn't know about it. The players didn't know about it. The players went out, and they warmed up in their red jerseys. We actually brought Doug Flutie in the morning. We said, Doug, what do you think? He said, oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
So George Hopkins, our equipment manager, was a little nervous because the offensive linemen, they get their jerseys on with their pads, and it's quite a struggle to get their shoulder pads off.
Yeah,
and you only have so much time after warmups to the introduction of the players. So what happened? The team warmed up in their reds, and we hung up all the black jerseys in their locker room stalls, and they came in, and it was like kids on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
They couldn't get their red jerseys off fast enough. They put these black jerseys on. They came out for the introductions, and the crowd didn't know to cheer or what to do because they're like, where's our Stampeders?
Yeah, what's going on?
And the Eskimos, the look on their face was, what? And the game was 48-15 for the Stampeders. So it was a statement game.
Yeah.
I'm getting phone calls at the start of the game from the commissioner of the CFL. I'm getting phone calls from CBC. They took all the warm-up shots of the players in their red jerseys. They're going, this is going to screw up our production and everything like this. But it was just, it was something magical that day that just really happened. And we ended up, we went 9-0 in those black jerseys until we finally lost. And we only pulled them out on really special occasions. And every once in a while, we did the warm up in the reds and come out in the black. And it just, football is such a mental game.
Yeah.
90% mental, and the other 10%, you play from your head up. So figure that one out. But it just gave the players, they thought they were invincible.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. So that's probably my biggest Labor Day highlight. And it's interesting. You talk about anniversaries. So that was 1994. Now it's 2014.
Yeah.
and they're announcing their signature jersey. And yeah. from everything that I've heard and read, it looks like they're not, other teams have unveiled their signature jerseys, but the Stampeders aren't doing it until Labor Day. So I don't know if they're going to wear it mm-hmm. on warmups or if they're going to come out after. Yeah. I know the Eskimos are telling everybody for the rematch to come early for warmups to see the new Eskimo jersey. They're not unveiling it till the warmups. So yeah. it's so interesting how these athletes, it's, as I said, it's like Christmas morning when they get a new jersey.
And you talk about that 94. I mean, it's an amazing story, and you know, people on the text line responding to it already. But no one, no third jersey before. It was an unheard of thing. It was home and away, and that's every sport. Mm-hmm. No one really had the third jerseys yet. But you could never pull that off again in this day and age. I mean, the amount of fines or something would come from the CFL. Like you mentioned, they're not very happy because you went, you know, not behind their back, but just never told them.
It was behind their back.
Well, behind their back, yeah. I guess technically behind their back. They had no idea you were doing it. CBC at the time had no idea. But something like that, that could never be pulled off again. I mean, the amount of backlash that would come from something like that these days, I mean, backlash did come then, but the backlash these days would be huge.
Well, the amazing thing, Josh, as well, is it never got leaked.
Yeah,
and now in today's social media, we didn't tell the players. There was the equipment manager. There was myself. There was Wally Bono, head coach, general manager, and owner Larry Rickman. And then the jersey company.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I mean, and today, somehow, somewhere, there's no way you could pull it off. So it was absolutely amazing. And those players just, wow, it was something I will never forget.
And I want to go back to the 92 game for just a second, because you talk about losing that Labor Day game, winning the West Final, and winning the Grey Cup. And at that time, you were still, you know, the communications mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff with the team. So you were heavily involved in the season ticket sales. Despite winning the Grey Cup, I guess, and I'll let you tell the story, but they win the Grey Cup, but losing Labor Day kind of cost the team in a little bit of a way.
It really did. It was amazing because it was the early 90s. The Flames had moved here in 1980, and the Stampeders went through some difficult times in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. The Flames went to the Stanley Cup in 86 and 89 and won, and it was like we were the poor red-handed stepsister.
Yeah.
No offense, Gingers. But anyway, it was very interesting. We had about 13,000 season ticket holders. Every season ticket holder was so important to us, as they are to any pro sports franchise.
Yeah.
And we're going through renewals in December, and there was quite a few cancellations. I took it upon myself to phone the season ticket holders and ask them, like, why? What? We didn't raise our ticket prices. Like, what's up?
We
won the Grey Cup. And the majority, probably 98% of the people that canceled, you lost Labor Day.
Wow.
I said, what? I said, we won the Grey Cup for the first time in 22 years. We beat Edmonton in the West Final.
Yeah.
You lost Labor Day. I have relatives, friends that live in Edmonton. I'm tired of walking away Labor Day afternoon from McMahon Stadium with that losing feeling.
Yeah.
You lost Labor Day. And it was like, oh, this is a big deal.
And that just goes to speak how big, and they telling that story, I get goosebumps just thinking about, you know, how important it is to this city and to the fans in Calgary. I mean, it's such a traditional game that makes it so special, but it's incredible to think a loss on Labor Day, despite all the success you have beating Edmonton, like you said, could cause people to not renew their season tickets. I want to fast forward to 1995, because that's a pretty special game that sticks out in a lot of people's mind. Again, you guys, pretty good team you have mm-hmm. going into that season. And I'll let you tell the story, because that's when kind of a new star was born, not only for the Stampeders, but a guy that became one to be a huge superstar in football was born on that day, Labor Day in 95.
It was. We were in Birmingham, Alabama, the week before playing the Barracudas. And I think it was about the third quarter, Doug Flutie hurt his arm. And it was very difficult to get Doug out of any game. If it was 53-0, Doug wanted to finish the game. It didn't matter. Doug was such a competitor. He wanted to play. But his arm just wasn't working how it was supposed to. And Jeff Garcia came in. So basically, Garcia played the fourth quarter against Birmingham. And Matt Dunnigan led the Barracudas. And they beat us late in the fourth quarter. And I think we were 8-0 going into Birmingham. Mm-hmm. So we lost the game. We come into Labor Day. And we kind of kept it hush-hush. And it wasn't... I don't think it was Tommy John surgery, because Doug did come back and play in the playoffs in 95 and the Grey Cup, but he was going to be shelved. He was going to Los Angeles for surgery, but he wanted to start Labor Day because at that time, he didn't know if that was going to be his last football game ever. So John Huffnagel was the offensive coordinator. Doug goes in for the first play, and he was very scared because he thought Doug would audible. It was to be a running play. They thought Doug would run some play, but actually he did not. He just ran the running play, and the play ended, and Jeff Garcia came in at that time, and they kind of high-fived each other at midfield, and Jeff went on and threw 5 touchdown passes. And then all of a sudden there was a quarterback controversy with Jeff Garcia and Doug Flutie. And Doug ended up starting the Grey Cup. And we lost that Grey Cup to Baltimore in 1995 in Regina. And, you know, the question was, well, what if Jeff had started? But it was just one of those magical Labor Day moments that we had no idea if Doug was ever going to play football again. And all of a sudden Jeff Garcia came on and
And he was kind of an unknown, at least to the CFL crowd and those people, that he was just the backup quarterback in Calgary at that time.
Absolutely. But it speaks volumes of what the organization has done over the years with becoming a quarterback factory. I was talking to a few guys a couple of days ago. We chuckle about the 98 Grey Cup when Jeff Garcia was the starter, Dave Dickinson was the backup, and Henry Burris was the third quarterback. I mean, you talk about a quarterback factory. Unbelievable. But you talk about Labor Day. We actually ran a marketing campaign. We ran full page ads in both newspapers back when newspapers were relevant.
Yeah, the big thing. Yeah.
And it was Labor Day tickets, $99, and 9 other games free because we had a $99 season ticket. But Labor Day, people wanted to go to. So we said, you know what? We'll charge $99 for Labor Day and we'll give you all the other games for free. And it was a pretty successful campaign. It got a lot of people talking. And it's just, something about Labor Day, it's one of those great things in sports. Mm-hmm. And this year, both teams 7-1.
It's going to be incredible.
Incredible. That is amazing to think how these teams have been so dominant over the decades, and they've never come in together 7-1. That is unbelievable.
It's going to be a phenomenal game. And I guess for you, well, that's something I've always wondered. What adds to it is, I mean, there's two teams in Labor Day games, so you got to give Edmonton credit because they add to that game, whether it's a lot of their fans that came down. They used to send busloads. I'm sure this year we'll see the return of that where they send busloads of fans down because it's such a big game, but they have their cheerleaders down. How does that all come about? I mean, did the Eskimos contact you, or is that somewhere the Stampeders would call them and say, hey, you know, it's a big game. Do you mind sending your cheerleaders down? Just add to the atmosphere. How does that kind of go about?
Well, the whole cheerleader thing adds to the atmosphere. I was VP of Marketing and Communications.
Yeah.
Our job was to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. Our job was to create revenue. And so I got a phone call from Hugh Campbell in 1992. And he says, yeah, Ron, we're waiting for you to send us our 1,500 free tickets for Labor Day. I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, we do an exchange. We give you guys 1,500 free tickets. And you sell to your season ticket holders and you guys come up to the rematch. So, well, first the rematch is Friday.
Yeah.
And it's the first week of school.
Yeah.
I don't know how many fans are going to travel up. And so we don't charge you for these. He goes, oh, no, no. But we sell them to our season ticket holders and we bring a bus down. It's a section and they're all in. I said, you know what, Mr. Campbell, we're not going to do it this year. And so we were a little worried. We didn't know if we were going to sell out. But we actually said that was the first sellout of 38,225 of that venue for McMahon at that time. It's a smaller stadium now because of expanded press boxes and on the east side, the player, the suite and everything. And so that, to be honest with you, it took a little bit of the Edmonton fans out of it. Mm-hmm. Now they're scattered all over the place, but I used to look at it like, why are they all in that one section? They get free tickets. Pardon me, free tickets on Labor Day?
Giving away that revenue. This year, the game's moved to a Saturday, the rematch. That kind of, is that something you probably would have liked to seen happen a long time ago? It gives not only the players an extra day, but now it's a weekend. So that option is open for people from Calgary to go up for the rematch. Because, they're working on that Friday. They can't make it up there, but now it's a Saturday.
It's interesting because I sat in CFL Board of Governors meetings, and that was always discussed. And from a player standpoint, Wally Buono always wanted the extension. We always suggested the Sunday. So it would give our fans opportunity to drive up, come back Sunday night, and it was better for the players. It's such a quick turnaround. The football players aren't made to play every other day almost like as hockey players do. And the Eskimos, not to paint a bad brush on the Eskimos, but they continually said no because they traditionally did a back-to-school promotion.
Oh, okay.
And Commonwealth Stadium is 50, 60,000 seats.
Yeah.
So every grade 1 to grade 9 student in Edmonton used to get a free coupon to redeem for a ticket a Friday night back-to-school promotion. So they were afraid to change it to the weekend. And so that, you know, you talk about the battle on the field, but there's lots of battles the in the office between marketing departments, between general managers, between presidents. So it is quite the heated rivalry.
Yeah.
And plus now you have Mr. Jones coaching up in Edmonton and Huff and not shaking hands. So it's just, it's leading up to one of the best Labor Days ever.
Yeah, I was going to ask, going into this one, have you ever had one that this much hype? I mean, I know there's hype every year for this game. It always will because it's Labor Day, but it's so much added. You talk about the Chris Jones, John Huffnagel, both teams 7-1. The game up there, Calgary went up and beat Edmonton already this year. They weren't happy with their performance. Have you ever had one that's had this much hype leading into it?
I don't think so, Josh. And it's let's be honest. It's been a long time since the Eskimo Stampeders have really been the heated rivalry.
Yeah.
Either one team has struggled or the other team has struggled. And it's become more of a Saskatchewan-Calgary rivalry.
Yeah.
But I think truly the Battle of Alberta is back. And with them both being 7-1, and the hype is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And come Monday morning, there's going to be a different energy in the city as we feel during Stampede Week. Exactly. There's an energy. You'll wake up and you go outside, take a deep breath. There'll be a different energy on Monday, and it's because it's Labor Day Classic.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. You know what, Ron, we appreciate this. We could probably go on for hours of just stories in this game, but we really appreciate you coming down and spending some time with us. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Josh. My pleasure.